The Accidental Entrepreneur is brought to you through our affiliate relationships with the following sponsors: Digital Accelerant, the digital mobile business card that generates leads. Text the word LAW to 21,000 to get connected and learn how to get your own digital business card. And by Fetch Internet and Fetch Pro, the secure, high-speed app that eliminates the need to pay for hotspots or use public unsecure Wi-Fi. And Printify, the online, on-demand print shop for all your corporate merchandise. Be sure to visit our online store and get your own podcast merch. Listen to all of our sponsors' commercials later in this episode and follow their links in the show notes to learn more about their products and services.
But I think what people truly need to do at this point before they even go out there and discuss the profile with themselves is, how do you reassess? Where? How do you establish yourself right now in business? What do you want to be known for? What do you want to be known as? Are you more of a personal brand, or do you want to move the name of your company forward? Either way, recognition of a company is going to go through the LinkedIn profile of an individual.
Right.
So clearly, and if you're
it's
going
all
to
tied, prospect, right? I can't have a business profile without having an individual profile, right?
If you can't do the hunting until you do the farming. So you have to make sure that that garden has been planted and it's starting to, you know, fertile growth. I mean, we all want fertile growth, and it's a slow build. But obviously there's a process I take my clients through where we kind of get to that level as to what we need to include on the profile. And think of it as each piece as a tile in a mosaic. So your accomplishments, your work history, what you're doing now, the services you provide. It may be a single service, maybe a couple of services, or perhaps a whole catalog of services, the markets that you try to capture, your ideal client profile, as is often said. So
yeah,
all of this
like
is kind
term.
Of tied in.
Right.
And you're trying to construct a story, a very compelling story. Hardest aspect of all is to compel people with it.
Right.
But also an impelling story, which moves people.
The information provided in these episodes is for entertainment purposes only. It is not a guarantee of success or to be construed as advice of any kind. You should always seek advice from local licensed professionals before making any decisions.
The dictionary defines an entrepreneur as a person who organizes and manages any enterprise, especially a business, usually with considerable initiative and risk. People often start a business without much choice, perhaps due to a job loss or just being dissatisfied at work, and they come up with an idea they just know can be successful. They become entrepreneurs by accident. That is to say, their success or failure happens by accident, not with intention. My name is Mitch Beinhacker. I'm a corporate attorney and a business advisor. You're listening to The Accidental Entrepreneur, my podcast about how to achieve success on purpose, not by accident. Join me along with our monthly guests where we share our knowledge and help you get a hold of your business. And now on to today's episode. Just to remind you, the podcast is produced and brought to you by my legal practice, Beinhacker Law. We provide business and estate services to entrepreneurs, inventors, and other small business owners. Whether you're just getting started or you've been operating for a long time, contact us for all your general legal needs, from contracts to client agreements, from purchasing a new location to onboarding a new partner or key employee. We draft all types of agreements and handle most business transactions. For more information about our products and services, visit beinhackerlaw.com, or you can follow our link in the show notes. Thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoyed today's interview.
Hi, I'm J.D. Gershbein. My company is Owlish Communications. I'm a personal brand strategist. My core services are LinkedIn profile writing, LinkedIn individual coaching, and LinkedIn corporate training.
So thanks for coming on. I know we've connected through a lot of networking stuff, and I'm looking forward to talking about all the LinkedIn stuff. I told you I had one other guy locally who I know who does LinkedIn, but you're like the only other guy I met who's a world-renowned LinkedIn specialist. So,
well, there are a lot of folks out there. The market has become hyper-crowded, oversaturated, if you will.
Right. But not people that have been doing it from the beginning. You know, you really... So maybe we should start there. Let's go back to how you got started with brand strategy, your background, your training, and then how you got into LinkedIn, because I know you got in very early, right?
Well, the beginning is always a great place to start, Mitch.
Yeah, of course.
absolutely. To my knowledge, I'm the first person that really offered the services I provide today out there. Back in 2006, I hung up my shingle as a LinkedIn consultant pretty much on spot. I mean, I looked at LinkedIn. It was love at first sight, and I was smitten. And nobody was engaging me at that time for anything but a mere explanation of what LinkedIn was.
Yeah, I think when I first started with it, I don't know what to do with it.
Well, a lot of things had to happen for me to have a career and to be in position to come on a podcast like yours and talk about my story. And I never thought my story was of interest to anybody. But now, with where we're at, with everything so competitive and in the attention economy,
right,
and free enterprise and a cottage industry that has evolved into a true industry, LinkedIn, like anything else, has become very commodified. And I think someone like myself, I try to put myself in position to be a technician and someone who really has come through some rigorous study on the site, who understands the social science around it. And it's not just about writing a profile or showing people how to navigate a website.
Right.
But it's about truly making them better as business people.
So what were you doing before LinkedIn kind of came along the way?
Kind of meandering around in the marketing world.
Okay.
I was in the marketing communications field. I am. Really, my whole professional career has been through marketing.
Okay.
And LinkedIn, just like I said, it just came around at the right time, Mitch. I mean, it was tailor-made for me. I mean, the way that I'm hardwired, I loved it immediately.
Right. But you would be diving in, like you said, into a platform that you thought would be real good. But a lot of stuff has come about now that make you a valuable commodity and a person that can help people with it. But in those days, it was just getting started. Like, you didn't know if it would take off. And you might put in all this time and knowledge and expertise for something that fizzled out, right? I mean, there had been other things that fizzled out.
Well, I had a feeling it would be great. And it's not like I stuck with it to see what would happen. I rode this thing as a pioneer, and I was truly a guy at the forefront and becoming known. I achieved my business identity through LinkedIn early on. It gave me footing in the universe. It gave me an ability to sell myself in a way where others could take me at face value, and that I was really interested in the best interests of people who wanted to learn the site as effectively as possible. And people had to catch up with it. LinkedIn had to become LinkedIn for any of this to happen. And as it did, as it grew in popularity and more people started to lean into it, well, I was the guy coming up in search.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but you had to do a lot of that. You had to figure a lot of that stuff out for yourself. They didn't have the kind of training that they have now.
No instruction manual. Right. You're on your own, kid.
Yeah.
Here's our site. It's cool. We plan to do very well with this. And we're depending on people like you to go out there and spread the word. I mean, was the feeling that I had. And I spread the word, man. I was out there at coffee shops, at networking events, one-on-one phone calls. I mean, just wherever I could, just talking about how cool I thought this site was.
Right.
And then I would just steer people to my profile, which is the strategy that we're all trying to espouse right now.
Easy.
I mean, that's the whole point of it, right? Who's viewed your profile? That's where the rubber meets the road.
Well, in those days, though, it wasn't owned by, who owns it now? Google? Or
it's a Microsoft property.
Microsoft
actually
owns it. Okay. But in those days, I think Reid Hoffman and a bunch of the guys from PayPal started it, right?
That's true.
So it was early on before that even.
That's true.
Changed hands. Yeah. All right. So in part with, and you know, tell us, well, I understand your background in marketing and everything, but maybe we could talk about the kind of things that people do right, do wrong that you've seen over the years.
I'm a big believer in positive reinforcement. And for me, I'd rather let people know they're on the right track than focus on the mistakes that they're committing. And look, I'm all about doing things ethically and for the right reasons and adhering to best practices. A lot of folks have gone off the track. They have become bad actors. And unfortunately, that's not a LinkedIn problem. That's a LinkedIn user problem. And what I try to do in my practice, as opposed to providing advisory services, a huge piece of that is helping them become good digital citizens and showing up well on the site and behaving properly and comporting themselves in a professional manner. I think the proliferation of spammy digital marketing programs has really shown a light on what people are trying to do. They're trying to bypass the process of building trusted relationships, and they're going right to the jugular vein for a sell. And people have become very desensitized to that. They just don't want to be sold at every turn on LinkedIn. Nobody wants to be thought of as anyone else's lead right now.
Yeah. I have some people that I've connected with who just send me things. They message me all the time with stuff. And I'm just like, I just block
it. It's annoying.
Yeah. And I know you said the algorithm changes all the time, so it ends up penalizing you when you act like that also.
Well, direct messaging as opposed to what you're posting are two different arenas. What I think you're alluding to is yeah. probably something that you might receive in the inbox, maybe through InMail or even on the invitation to connect, which is the most egregious breach of ethics of all.
Right.
But on the homepage, it has truly become the classified ads. And no question that there's a lot of overt, shameless self-promotion going on.
But that's
what we're designed to do.
Right, exactly.
That's where we go. That's what.
Sure.
How else are people going to learn about us if we don't toot our own horn? No one's going to toot it for us.
Right,
but of course you could mobilize a few brand ambassadors.
Yeah, and you can be more professional about it than not, right? I mean,
of course. Well, you know, artful self-promotion is where we want to go with this. I mean, it's truly become a free for all out there. It is the wild, wild west, and if you're going to break through the noise, you can't just do it like everyone else. Everybody's kind of mimicking each other's patterns here, where they see people selling and they think, oh, well, that's the way to do it. I'm just going to go out there and run my sales pitch down everybody's throat. But the key is, if you're from a content marketing viewpoint, if you're going to go out there and parse out your value, whether it's in posts, whether it's in articles, blogs, videos,
right,
or online learning courses that you're trying to market, you're out there fronting it. You're behind it. It's obviously on brand for you. You're trying to get people to take action with you in some respect. And it's not done by just pounding them with a sales pitch.
No, you want to be a bit of a thought leader, right? Where you're sharing information and are helpful with the stuff that you post, as opposed to just say, buy from me, buy from me, buy from me, buy from me.
Well, I think you want to do what we're doing, or what we've done leading up to this podcast, is you want to go out there and network. We're taping your podcast 9 months into a global pandemic that shows right. no signs of turning around anytime soon.
I don't think so.
So we've been relegated to this virtual world, and we're migrating through all of these various communities. And yes, we're selling ourselves. We're going into breakout rooms, and our pitch becomes even more concentrated. But the key is, focus on building the relationship.
Right.
The hardest thing in the world is to build trust on the internet right now. It truly is.
And whatever, more people are paying attention to their profiles than ever before, because you had nothing else, no else, other way to do it back, well, now, for the last 9 months.
Well, the profile has ascended in status. It is your prized asset in the digital world, and you should tend to it and regularly, and make sure that it's current, and make sure that right. it's COVID proofed. I mean, you really have to move forward in a way where, if you're going to attract people to your page, inbound marketing at its finest, you want people to notice you, find you, view your page, view your right. profile. What do you have set up for them? What's the infrastructure look like? Is it
right.
supporting you? Is it hindering you?
Right.
Most people, it hinders.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think the days of where is my card? Days of giving these things out are going to be over. Nobody wants to touch them.
It is becoming
extinct. I literally
extinct.
Was in a meeting, and I handed the guy my card, and he like looked at me, and I go, it's all right. It's free. It's clear. Oh, okay. Like, you think about that stuff differently than you used to. So the online, it's safe, you know,
yes.
and you do, but you're right. I constantly change my tagline because I learned this, or I read this, or you tell me something, or whatever. And you're constantly like, I mean, I guess there's really no, your profile is really like a living, breathing thing, right? So you probably shouldn't just set it and forget it. It's not, it does get stale, right? You do have to update it. Is that true?
It should pace in real time change with what you're accomplishing in the world, or with initiatives that you're launching, obviously, because people come to your profile at different times. And if you're making reference to 25 years of expertise or 3 decades of a broad based experience, I mean, 3 decades starting when, ending when.
Right.
So I think no references should up to time should be made in a profile. You're who you are right now. You did this. You're merging it with your present value with an eye toward the future. And that's what good LinkedIn profile writing is, truly, Mitch. It's a merge of present with an eye on the past and an eye toward the future.
That's a good point, because I bet you my profile says something like, I have 28 years of experience, but that's going to be out of date as time goes on.
Yeah. Well, when did the meter start running on those 28 years? But at the same time, people are changing. And what we've seen truly in the COVID-19 age is it can change on a whim. And that profile is a real-time reflection of who you are in business right now. Not who you were, not what you're, not technically what you're doing right now, but what you intend to do. What's driving you forward? And I've intimated at that in my own profile. I want to be there when the recovery of the pandemic is progressing. Right now, there's it's just a hint of recovery right now. We're speaking at a time where there's no vaccine. And now what we have to do is make sure that all of this activity that we're carrying out during the pandemic can lead to something during the recovery.
All right. So why don't we do this? Since this is an entrepreneur's podcast, right? We get a lot of business owners, startups, or business owners that really haven't paid much attention to their online footprint or whatever. And you can weave in stories as we're talking and things, anecdotes, but maybe we could talk about, okay, if you're new to LinkedIn or you set up a profile 6 years ago and didn't do anything with it because you didn't know what to do, what are some of the things that you recommend to people to start to, you know, open up the flower, so to speak, to make it more of a welcoming type of a profile, right? Is that the best way to say it?
Well, I think we're talking about how do you optimize your LinkedIn
presence.
Optimize
is a good word. Yeah.
And that starts at the level of the profile. So, and there's any number of mind-numbing tutorials out there that will can teach you something like that.
Right.
But
maybe
but
we could put a couple of links in the show notes too.
Oh, I don't know. But they're tutorials from people who are other than me. So you probably want to cannibalize my efforts.
Right. No, we don't
want
to do that.
But I think what people truly need to do at this point before they even go out there and discuss the profile with themselves is how do you reassess? How do you establish yourself right now in business? What do you want to be known for? What do you want to be known as? Are you more of a personal brand or do you want to move the name of your company forward? Either way, recognition of a company is going to go through the LinkedIn profile of an individual.
Right.
So clearly, and if you're
it's
going
all
to
tied,
prospect,
right? I can't have a business profile without having an individual profile, right?
If you can't do the hunting until you do the farming. So you have to make sure that that garden has been planted and it's starting to, you know, fertile growth. I mean, we all want fertile growth and it's a slow build. But obviously there's a process I take my clients through where we kind of get to that level as to what we need to include on the profile. And think of it as each piece as a tile in a mosaic. So your accomplishments, your work history, what you're doing now, the services you provide, it may be a single service, maybe a couple of services, or perhaps a whole catalog of services, the markets that you try to capture, your ideal client profile, as is often said. So
yeah,
all of this
like
is kind
term.
Of tied in.
Right.
And you're trying to construct a story, a very compelling story. Hardest aspect of all is to compel people with it.
Right.
But also an impelling story, which moves people, motivates them to investigate you further. So I use the LinkedIn profile as a hub, basically to get people from the point A to the point B with you. And that point B nowadays is typically a Zoom call.
I think that's a good comment you made, though, because that's not really a LinkedIn thing. That's more of a branding thing. I think people need to kind of figure out what they are and what they want to be. I mean, you go on these calls with people and they vomit all over everybody in the room. They don't want to miss anything. They want to say about everything that they do. We do this and we do that. We handle it. First of all, their 30-second elevator pitch becomes a 3.5-minute dissertation and everybody's eyes are rolling up in their head. Plus, you can't remember anything about this person. So I think people need to kind of focus. It's okay. Like I take on a lot of legal work for a lot of things, but that doesn't mean I hold myself out that way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I do a couple of things that I mentioned that I do, the kind of people I work with, the kind of business I'm looking for. That doesn't mean people don't call me and say, Mitch, Mitch, I have a friend in New Jersey and he owns this business, he has this problem. Can you help him? Mm-hmm. Sure. But I think that's a big problem where people, they feel the need. It's like when you're giving a presentation, right? Because you've done them before and you've seen people give presentations. It's like, people say too much, right? They talk too much. On this podcast, we can both talk. We have a lot to say. But when they're giving a presentation, it's like the next person to talk is going to lose the sale. You know what I mean? And they do
well,
that.
So they say, profiles. Yeah.
Yeah. And they do that.
Overselling.
Oh, my God. I was on a call recently, and some of the people in the room were a little lengthy with their elevator pitch. So the woman who's running the meeting was like, well, what should we do for, you know, a topic in the future? And I wrote privately to her, maybe we want to get somebody here, want to teach people how to do elevator pitches. Because I mean, some people just, they don't, they need an ideal client profile. They need to focus on, it's okay to be focused, right?
Usually there are a lot of people in the business. Way, right? There are a lot of people in the business of helping people hone their elevator pitch. It's an art, and it's
definitely an art.
You can always tell when it's not been practiced or when it sounds too canned or it sounds what I call chamber of commerce-y. It's just there's it's almost robotic.
Right.
I mean, I think the best elevator pitches, and I prefer to use the term value statements,
okay,
or unique propositions of value,
like that
is another one. I mean, when you're giving your
USP, right?
Your 10, 15 seconds, 20 seconds, whatever.
Yeah.
Sure. You should be able to incorporate a positioning statement with that as well. Let people know to a certain point why you do what you do, as well as the who you do it for piece. So a good solid pitch, for lack of a better term, is something that doesn't sound like a pitch.
Right. But that takes practice, because if you,
yes,
I think what people do is they think like, oh, I can't sound like I'm reading something. So therefore they try and make it up off the top of their head every time. It comes out different every time they talk. They're all over the place. So I always tell people, listen, you know, put it on a Google form or put it on your Word and have it next to you. And a couple of times later, you won't be looking at it so much, you know,
yeah,
because you won't be consistent about what you do and you won't be concise about it.
I've told people to just memorize it. I come from an improvisational comedy background,
right?
I come from an improvisational comedy background. So I'm telling people just memorize it, spit it out a few times in front of your word processor and just look away and start to get into a cadence or a rhythm where it becomes second nature to you.
Okay. So this is why podcasts are good, because then we can talk about cool stuff. So tell me about your stand-up comedy career.
No stand-up. I'm not a stand-up.
Well, you're a writer?
I took improvisational comedy at the Second City back at the time when it was cool to say that you could take
That's
Second
awesome.
City improv.
Yeah.
And what I use applied improvisation in my business. So I believe in the ability to literally create or conjure something out of nothing in order to move a conversation forward. And improv is, it's not just about saying funny things. It's not about getting the laugh. The techniques and tactics used in improv could equip any salesperson, any executive, any entrepreneur who is trying to sell a product, a service, or themselves, or drive their niche. So what improv has taught me through the years is how to be present in the moment, how to extend conversations, and how to listen well.
So do you still do that? You still take courses? They give courses?
I'm sorry, I wasn't listening to you.
Do you still do improv?
Well, I practice it. Second City right now, like everything else, is closed off. There's
right,
no performance
well, right.
art at the Second City. So I did a show back at the campus in May of 2019, which is forming the basis of a broadcast initiative that I'm releasing in 2021.
Nice.
So I'm going to be doing a lot more with my training. The training, it wasn't something that I wanted to parlay into, say, a Saturday Night Live auction.
Right, because they get a lot of people from Second City, right?
Well, I gave up my dreams of that kind of thing a long time ago. I took it truly to up-level my solo performance as a speaker,
yeah,
as a facilitator, and just to be more, again, more inclusive in my communities and create good discussion, open good conversations, keep conversations in play. And I think that's the beauty of improv, is that we just keep listening, keep extending, keep communicating, and you get to areas that you otherwise weren't there to explore in the first place. And,
yeah, right.
And it's that discovery process, I think, that drives collaboration and growth.
Yeah, definitely. I think improv, I had taken some courses in college and tried out for some things, and I definitely... It increases your ability to think on your feet and your confidence and your, it's definitely, so does Second City, is it something you have to try out for? Do they have courses you can take? The Second City's
no, like anybody Chicago, can take, so. Anybody can take classes.
Oh, okay.
Anybody can take classes. They're virtual right now. I took them in the classroom setting and.
Oh, that'd be and neat. You could do a virtual class with Second City from New Jersey. That'd be cool.
You could.
That's nice. That's cool. Yeah. So see, I just learned something about you. You're an improv
through,
guy.
Through improv.
Yeah, I love it. But all through this, while you're doing the improv, you were still a marketing guy. I mean, that's your background. You're a marketing specialist, branding, marketing?
You know, I don't really call myself a marketer these days. I truly self-classify as a personal brand strategist.
Okay.
My best engagements are with people who are betting on themselves to win.
Yeah.
Who really are, you know, for them, the honeymoon is over and they truly want to stand out and leverage a site like LinkedIn in its highest possible way.
Right. Well, I think a lot of people overlook the power of personal branding. Like they just think they're out there selling or doing whatever they're doing and they're solopreneur. They don't realize the power of being a personal brand. You don't have to be, you know, some big international brand to gain recognition in the marketplace. I came across a woman. Have you heard of, shameless plug for her, but have you heard of Lisa Lieberman Wang?
No, I haven't. With apologies to Lisa.
She was on a, she's a brand strategist too. She doesn't do what you do with LinkedIn and all that stuff, but that's her thing. She's a Tony Robbins person and she came on my podcast too recently and she spoke to our, but the point was, and it was driven home also about just what you're saying, like building your personal brand and what that can bring you to and the level at which you can increase your business and live the life you want to live. And whatever you had said before, choose, what did you say? Yeah. Choose who you do business with and how you do business and who you choose as your ideal client. Doesn't mean you can't do business with other people, but I find that whole world of branding, which is very, it's almost like a niche area of marketing, right? Where people just, they're like, why would I do that? What do you mean? Like, you know, I'm a brand buying hacker law. You know, I'm just some attorney walking down the street. I can be, but who wants to do that? And I think it gives you leverage, right? With your ability to earn your income by personally branding what you do. People recognize you. Is that what it is? Top of mind recognition, I guess.
Here's a word from our sponsors. Uplift your marketing and reinforce your brand with a digital business card from Digital Accelerant. Use a text marketing combination to stand out in front of your competition. Digital business cards make you memorable and most of all help you bring in new business through its warm lead generator. Motion graphics, intro, outro, and inspirational videos can be added during setup. Text the word LAW to 21000. That's LAW to 21000 to learn how to get your own digital business card. Suffering from slow internet speed? Worried about hackers? Fetch Pro gets the internet from your smartphone to your Windows and Mac computer without paying for a hotspot. Always get the fastest, most stable, and secure internet access on your computer with Fetch Pro. Follow their affiliate link on our website to learn more and get connected with Fetch. Printify is the online service that simplifies and automates the process of sourcing and creating print-on-demand products branded with your company logo, product, or service. Printify is a better alternative to pre-purchasing and warehousing your merchandise for distribution or sale. Follow their link from our website to learn how to set up your own online store. And be sure to visit our online store and get yourself some podcast merch. Follow the link in the show notes to learn more about all of our sponsors. And now back to our show.
To a point, and I'm listening, I'm wondering where to really start in the discussion on personal branding, because it's much more than that. Not everybody becomes a brand.
Right.
They may think that they have the ability to become a brand, but a personal brand is, yes, it's strategic. Yes, it's a journey. Yes, it can be either linear or nonlinear. It's got multiple components to it, but at the same time, it's how you're remembered in the minds and hearts and viscera of people. Are you making an impact, a psychic impact? Are you making an emotional impact with people? The key to any personal brand strategy is becoming memorable.
Right.
Memorable in a positive way, ideally.
Yeah, and, well, of course.
And more than that is to become bundled in and associated with the product, service, niche, company, or skill that you possess, or that has your, what I call your dominant aspect of value. So we're going out there, we're selling ourselves in any number of ways, but ideally what I've done or have tried to do for lo these many years is when the conversation comes around to LinkedIn,
people think
JD Gerspine.
Right. Right. That's important because you and I meet, you know how many marketing people I've met in the last 9 months?
Oh no, my God. Tell
if
me.
Somebody says, oh, I need a marketing person to help me with digital marketing. I don't know. I don't even know what I, it's like when you know too many people, you can't think of one person.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, it's like too many lawyers. They don't know where to start. So I think that top of mind, I guess that's really what it is as you said, is
yeah,
really
top of mindedness is important. It's a sales term primarily. Keep top of mind. I mean, LinkedIn strategists are constantly talking about achieving top of mindedness through posts and running regular content on the homepage on a daily basis. So I think there's something to be said for top of mindedness, but at the same time, with all we have coming at us right now in the attention economy, we're disrupted, we're distracted,
right?
We're pulled, we're pushed. We have this, we have that. We're collaborating here, we're collaborating there. There's, I gotta be here. We're all kind of tethered to our computer screens right now. And it's miss a little, miss a lot. And if you're not present and you don't capitalize on the opportunities that you're given, it's tough to build a brand, and you don't want to do things that militate against your brand, like not returning emails or not returning voicemails or not being present at weekly meetups. I mean, that's part of this new accountability I think we're experiencing during the coronavirus era.
Yeah. It's easy to drop off real quickly. So what kind of things do you recommend people do as, let's talk about LinkedIn, as a member of LinkedIn, a participant, you know, like I hear all kinds of stuff, like how often you should post and what, I mean, it's crazy. Like I would, my whole life would shut down. Well, you should post every 50 minutes, 50 minutes. I was like, like once a day is too much for me.
Well, I think there's something to be said for being an active participant on LinkedIn. Right. I think we put too many impositions on ourselves by when we should post or setting up a content schedule. I think that's important, but realistically, most people shrink away from regimentation at this stage. If they're told that they must do something, ideally they won't.
Right.
So the key is how do we make this palatable for them? How do we create the idea, not the illusion, but the idea that with the hard work on LinkedIn comes the expectation of results? The misnomer is, and people in my trade are guilty of this, I'm not, because I don't put out bloated promises to anybody. LinkedIn is a meritocracy. It has to be worked if you're going to achieve on it.
Obviously.
But the idea is that you get on, you create an account, you tinker with the profile to a certain extent, you start accepting invitations, you throw out a few invitations to others, you build this thing called a network, and you start messaging people within the network, you start posting content, you hear of something out there called the algorithm, a mystic force that moves content, and if you do this or do that, you won't get seen. So now we have a lot of this extraneous stuff coming that it's becoming very tough to filter.
Right.
And LinkedIn is a very complicated platform. It's very difficult to teach, especially to companies. So what I try to do is just tell people, look, it's a long ride. There's a short game, yes, but this is the long haul. Who are the people you want with you? What's the content that you'd like to market? What do you need or want to say about yourself that people should know about, and keep attracting attention to yourself in a positive way. Engage on the posts of others. You're not the only one that wants their content liked or shared, right? I assure you.
I heard liking, though, doesn't really do much. You really want to comment or share, right? I
mean, no, actually liking is the best way.
Oh, just click like?
You're getting erroneous information.
I get a lot of erroneous information.
Likes are actually the best way. But likes are, you know, the engagement platform, that like, comment, share platform is what I call the LCS platform, that engagement dynamic. It creates what I call vanity metrics. So sometimes folks are more hung up on the number of views they would get as opposed to the actual engagement that comes down. A post only converts if people want to communicate with you after you post. If it translates into an inquiry about your services or repeated profile views, that's what I look for. What would you rather have? A couple thousand views on a post with nobody connecting with you or nobody laying a comment on it? Or if maybe an eighth of that with people commenting in a discussion that goes on for a couple of weeks, which translates into profile views, inquiries into your legal services, and some Zoom conversations where you've actually positioned someone in your pipeline.
Right. No, well, obviously the latter.
Of course. You want to engage. Loaded question.
Yeah, right. But that's, you know, you want to engage. But I find that people don't, I guess it's a lot to do with, like you said, we're in the attention economy and things are overwhelming sometimes for people. They just True. Don't know what to do, you know? So
I'm completely distracted right now.
Are you?
No.
Okay.
That's a Don't joke, Mitch.
Don't be distracted. You got to give
me the attention economy.
I got you stuck in this box for almost an hour. You know, you can't go anywhere. It's like that's, our lives.
As a personal brand strategist, I hear this a lot and I speak about it a lot. The phrase that's most often used is cutting through the clutter. And most people will tell you, and I'm right in there with them, that there's a lot of noise out there. There truly is.
You've got a ton of noise.
You've got more people leaning into LinkedIn than ever before. We're in a pandemic. Business has been virtualized. So now it's going to take an even greater effort to just get yourself noticed out there. So what are you prepared to do? And by you, I mean you, dear listener, or whoever catches wind of what I'm saying. What are you prepared to do to capitalize on the LinkedIn opportunity? The LinkedIn opportunity is there, but so few people really take it.
Right. Well, I also find there's other platforms that are competing for your attention. So somebody posts something on Facebook, which I'm not really a Facebook person. So I don't know what the hell to do with it. So I click on it. I don't see what I'm looking for. I leave. And then if I'm looking to connect with somebody, maybe I see an article, maybe I hear about them. I'd like to get them on the podcast, talk to them, whatever. I will go to LinkedIn and see they have 73 connections. I'm like, well, they're obviously not, you know. Not going to reach out to them. They don't know and they're not connected with anybody, but it might not be true. Maybe they're just a play, you know, they just haven't paid attention to their profile, you know?
That could be the case, but it's also a different dynamic on all of these platforms. They serve different needs in the communication mix.
Right.
LinkedIn is where business people live.
Right.
If you want to reach business people, B2B, white collar, in a transactional marketplace, you're going through LinkedIn.
Right. Yeah. But I find people that are B2B and they're just not. But a lot of it has to do with generations. If they're older generations, you know, I've been referred people. I guess so. As an attorney, from an ethics standpoint, you don't just at least in New Jersey, you don't just approach people and say, "JD, do you need an attorney? Can we talk about legal services?" Now you could, but if you're a jerk off and I piss you off and you had some bad experience with an attorney, you don't like, you call the ethics department to file some erroneous complaint, and I got problems. So a lot of us are attorneys. We don't do that, but I can look you up. So if you say, look up this guy, he's a friend of mine and see if we want to connect. And then I don't find anything. Doesn't have a LinkedIn profile. Doesn't have a website. Doesn't have any kind of digital footprint. Is that the right word? Footprint?
Yes. Presence.
Presence is a good word, yes. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Roadblock, brick wall.
It can be. I mean, certainly at this stage of the game, at where we're at right now in 2020, coming into 2021, if you're not representing on LinkedIn, at least from the level of a baseline or placeholder profile, I mean, yes.
With
what's going on?
You know, you click on the contact info and it takes you back to their LinkedIn profile. It doesn't help
me. Now, there are people that don't need LinkedIn profiles, and not sure Mark Cuban or Bill Gates or Barack Obama or Conan O'Brien need LinkedIn profiles.
But you can just follow them. That's all you can do.
But they're influencers, and they're going to, you know, they have a LinkedIn presence, but they've never really leveraged it to build an audience. They're strictly influencers and title only. Or even Jeff Bezos. I mean, how are you going to, what, you're going to in-mail Jeff Bezos on LinkedIn and go through layers of admin to get to him? Of course not. It's,
right.
But for people who are, again, living off their wits in the eat what they kill world where relationships matter, absolutely. The LinkedIn profile becomes the driving force in setting the tone for the network, and the network becomes the fertile soil for opportunity.
Okay, so is there anything I should know or the listeners should know about? Because I know there's different sections of your profile, right? There's the about section. There's things where you can post different things that you do. Then there's your education. It's just, to a certain extent, it looks like a resume, but then it looks like other things. Enlighten us. Share some wisdom.
You know, it's a whole composite piece. And the idea is, you know, when you think of the psychology of a profile review, what are people bringing from a mindset perspective when they visit your page? They want to get quick uptake, right? They're not going to spend a whole lot of time on your profile unless you give them a reason. So obviously everything's got to come together. You've got to have the visual cues with the text cues. And we kind of, when you think of yourself, the way you review profiles, you're on the site for maybe a few seconds and you've really absorbed a great deal of information. You can position the person, you see the markets or the industry, you see the geographical location, you're seeing a banner image, ideally, if people have populated their profile with a banner image, an enticing visual.
That's the big piece behind my head, right?
You correct. Can
that. Yeah.
A warm, welcoming headshot. I mean, all of these kind of play in, they give the profile its vibe or its energy. And then from there, the goal is, I mean, just keep people scrolling, man. I mean, that's my whole philosophy, is keep people scrolling down my page, because if they're willing to investigate me, or if they're vetting me for an assignment or a speaking gig or a consultation, then yeah, I want them to read everything I've put down there. Reality is, maybe they won't, but they can certainly sample it. I've given them some video material to look through. I've given them some pictorial content. So I think, again, when they leave the page, have they remembered you? Will they be able to place you in their minds as to what they just saw? Or will they able to kind of recall you as a service provider in a certain category or a vendor selling a certain product? And I think, again, so many sales pitches, so many profiles are just laden with sales speak that it's tough to actually see the human being through all of that and remember what it is they do. So each section of the profile should build on the other. You go from the about section, which is your story.
Now, should that, in your opinion, I see some that are written like, probably mine is like in third party, like a res, like a about Mitch Beinacker. And then I see some written first person. It's just all over the place. Do you have any opinions about that?
I favor the third person narrative. I'm an outsourced provider in the field. And I think most people realize now that LinkedIn profile writing has become a hugely outsourced service and probably right behind the resume in terms of frequency. Right. And many resume writers, where there is an accredited program for training or a license certification in resume writing, are doing LinkedIn profiles, which requires no licensing or certification. So you can get anybody to do a profile right now. There's no learning or training program.
Right.
So what I try to do is really bring in more storytelling through the third person narrative. And then you move into the experience section, where you talk about the company, the services that you offer, perhaps the history of the company, a little brief timeline, maybe a paragraph on the history of the firm or the organization,
right,
and the service offerings. And then as they go down, that, you know, you're kind of, it's primacy recency effect. So your most recent positions first, followed by next in order, next in order, next in order. You can build out your projects. You can build out organizations that you belong to, volunteer causes that you support, projects that you're involved with, and honors and awards that you've won. And this ideally ties into this unique holistic perspective that people walk away with.
And all that stuff searchable, right? So if somebody does a Google search on a specific nonprofit organization, in theory, you might come up because it's on your profile.
True. Well, LinkedIn shares a very advantageous positioning with Google. So if you're searching for, certainly by name, if you're Googling someone's name or company, it's going to come up very high in the LinkedIn search, especially if that company has a LinkedIn company page. It's going to be at or near the top.
Right. Yeah. A lot of times I get the LinkedIn profile before I get their website.
And that's the strategic piece of why the profile becomes so important, because in most circles, that's the first port of call.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I know people that don't have a website. They have a LinkedIn
page.
Hard
to believe.
Yeah. Well, they don't need to. Maybe they're a copywriter or whatever. They don't need a website. It's all LinkedIn.
The LinkedIn profile can be tailored to become a primary website. It is a marketing and branding hub.
Right. Okay. Well, it's your show. You're the guest. So what are the things you want to impart on us? What are your opinions?
What do I want to impart?
And where we're going?
My gosh, how our worldview has changed with the coronavirus crisis.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, where do we stand? I think there's so much uncertainty in business right now, and so much trepidation and so much stress and anxiety. It's almost hard to figure out where the pendulum is going to swing at this point. And my day to day, my week to week is just spent on meeting great people, approaching them from a place of service and respect and altruism, and just even almost asking for a wellness check. I mean, our Zoom calls right now, should be less about transactions and more about transitions and how we're kind of shaping this and how we're negotiating and navigating this. And we're also in a very politically unstable climate with a new president coming in January 2021. So who knows how that's going to throw things off. Ideally, a lot of the things that we've been enduring will resolve and we'll get on a path where we can lick the virus. I think that becomes the key piece here, is navigating this thing in a way where people can be people again.
Right.
And the communal aspect of business. So that's where people are really challenged right now, Mitch, is just finding that push pull between, should I sell? Do people really want to hear this right now? Or should I not sell and just make a friend, make a connection, show empathy. Empathy's big.
Yeah.
Empathy, humility, authenticity. I think, if anything, this virus has taught us to be very humble and very authentic.
Very much so, yeah. I don't know where this is all taking us. We're going to have to see. I think that now they're arguing about people that don't want to take the virus. We're like split down the half the country where you'll be getting together with somebody and say, are you vaccinated? That's going to be like the thing.
Right.
And they'll be like, well, you can't say that. That's in private.
Yeah,
and as a professional, see people. I mean, you know,
as a professional speaker, I worry about the ability to get back on a stage in front of a live audience and look out and getting that receptivity and response that I crave as a speaker. And ask any speaker who's had a significant swath of their income cut out from under them. We're right in there with all the other businesses that are really losing bottom line growth. It's all about the comeback now. I think focusing on the comeback and building your network in a way that supports your comeback and whose comeback you can support. I think that's our focus right now, is just connecting with people on their own terms and just building the network around the opportunities that are there, and not just to have the most connections. That's not going to get you anywhere, really.
Right.
But also to use the time wisely. We talked about it already in this podcast, is to sit in front of the computer, learn LinkedIn, apply as much of it as you possibly can. Don't try to do too much too soon, and incrementally grow.
Right. Yeah. No, it's all good advice. I guess we'll have to see where it takes us. But there's silver linings, right? We wouldn't have met if it wasn't for this whole virus thing.
That's true.
You know, how would we have connected from New Jersey and Chicago? I mean, maybe on LinkedIn we might have, but I don't know.
Well, the blessings within the curse have been many. There's no question that to a person, they will say that if not for the pandemic, they would have never met these folks or been in that community or be in talks of great collaboration that are going on. And I'm involved in that as well. There's so much pandemic driven collaboration right now that the roots of businesses, the founding fathers of new companies, met during the pandemic at a networking event. So I think that speaks to the power of the technology, which for so long was neglected or postponed.
Right.
Now people are using it. Now there's a necessity. And what's necessity the mother of?
All that invention that's coming.
You got it.
Yeah. So how can people find you, interact with you, learn from you?
Well, ideally, it shouldn't surprise anybody that I do run a LinkedIn account.
Oh, you have a LinkedIn
out there.
Profile?
I'm searchable under my name on LinkedIn. They can find me there. And from there, they can get me anywhere. They can.
I would assume Gershbein. There's not a lot of Gershbeins on LinkedIn. There might be some.
I believe I'm the lone wolf out there with my name.
Yeah. There's other Bein hackers, believe it or not. They're probably related to me if they are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm out there, and I've been a player in the LinkedIn sandbox for many, many years, and I keep learning everything. I'll leave you with this. I never self-declare as an expert or a guru or a maven or a Sherpa or a ninja or any of these other designer terms that people want to use for expertise. I feel that's in the eye of the perceiver, and I've courted thought leadership and leadership. But really, what I think thought leadership is leadership. And if you truly want to be known as a leader in whatever your field, you shouldn't self-declare. You should go out there and lead or thought lead by example. And that's all I've ever tried to do, is show people what's possible, give them what I feel is an original and exemplary take on what I do, and let them make the decision. I'm not everybody's cup of tea. Nobody is everybody's cup of tea.
Well, that's for sure. That's why you need to know who you want to do business with and who wants to do business with you. And that's okay, right? I don't need everybody.
Totally. You couldn't do business with everybody. You don't have the time.
Right, exactly.
If you like the podcast, please tell others about us. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, on Google Podcasts, on Amazon Music, and many of the other podcast directories. If you like what you hear, please leave us a 5-star review and feel free to share our episodes on social media. If you have any questions or comments, ideas for the show, or you'd even like to appear as a guest, reach out to us by email at info@beinhackerlaw.com. The Accidental Entrepreneur is hosted and produced by me, Mitch Beinhacker. If you'd like more information about my legal services, you can find me on social media or visit my website at beinhackerlaw.com. Thanks for listening, and be sure to subscribe to our feed to be notified of all future episodes.